You are now listening to the Slaw Offices of Russo, Russo, and Peretti.
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Slaw Office with Russo, Russo, and Peretti. Unfortunately, yes, we were not around last week. We all have lives, we have responsibilities, and we can't give you the good shit every week. Sometimes it's too much for you guys to handle. But anyways, as always, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Kyle Russo.
Right here, baby. And again, Falcom. Hashtag Falcom, sir.
And Nick Peretti.
I'm still here. I'm back this week, baby.
Well, like Nick said, still here, back this week. We're all back this week. Some of us are having a better week than most, if you know what I'm saying. If you know what I'm saying. I hear a little war hymn. I hear a little war hymn playing right now. Y'all hear that war hymn? You hear that? What is that war hymn?
I'm thinking that is the
Fighting Texas Aggie war hymn, folks. Why are we playing that war hymn, Kyle? What happened? Tell the people why we play that war hymn. Go ahead. Give us
some. I give a lot of explanations and reasons why it happened, but I mean, are we touching on that now? I mean, listen. Don't get my blood boiling right now, bro. With okay. The whole gig 'em, Aggies.
Well, we're not gonna table it. We're gonna talk about it. Let's give you a rundown of what we're gonna do. We are obviously gonna talk A&M and LSU. We're gonna talk to controversy. We may even talk some post game shenanigans, since you want to throw that out there. Let's talk a little bit about Michigan getting dismantled. I had Michigan high on the list. We'll talk a little bit about them with their Ohio State thing and what the deal is with Urban Meyer. Is he going to come back? We're going to do it's Champion Week, right? I mean, this is the week. We're going to pick a couple of games. We'll talk about them. We're going to pick a couple of them. Let's talk a little Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We talk a little bit about it. We got some local guys. The reason why. That's why we hit on them a little bit, but we'll hit some other NFL stuff. We may hit a little Saints and see how they feel with the Saints, or maybe the Rams. We're going to touch a little bit about our Super Bowl picks. Since we've got some front runners now in each conference, let's dive in. We'll give ourselves three or four front runners and who we think is going to win the Super Bowl.
Why not?
I think that's about it. We may cover a little bit, like I said, of the college football playoff. I mean, how do we feel with Georgia sneaking into the top four? Will they go into it? But
you can almost consider us covering some college basketball in a 74-72 football game.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing that you bring that up, not only because A&M beat LSU, but I had a buddy the other day. I was like, oh, yeah, A&M played LSU the other night. He said, yeah, I saw the game. It was 17-10 at halftime. I said, yeah, we won 74-72. He's like, oh, damn, I didn't know they played basketball game as well same night. I was like, okay. Anyways, we're going to kick it off with that game because it's probably going to be the most talked about thing and the most discussed thing. It's been the most talked about and discussed thing, especially with the officials. And I still got people whining to me every day in my text messages. I get blown up every day with a new picture or a new image of how whatever happened during the game and then the post game. I get it all the time. I mean, I guess that's what it's like. You know, it's been 6 years, seventh year that we've been in the SEC. I mean, it's been a long time since we beat LSU. So I guess that's what it feels like. So I was peacocking 2 days ago at work. I stayed peacock, or I peacocked two days ago on overtime. I peacocked yesterday at work. I did it again a little bit today. It's getting less and less, but I'm still enjoying the moment. Of course, we're talking A&M, LSU. A&M beats LSU. And probably, I'm going to keep saying it, yes. But we're probably we're getting to the point now where you got A&M and LSU. It's a 7 overtime game. Let's not worry about winners and losers, even though we won. Let's not worry about that. Let's worry about the actual magnitude of the game. Let's talk a little bit about how good that game really was. Officiating aside, 7 overtimes, most points scored. Give me your opinion, Nick. You didn't watch the game. Is that right? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, I didn't watch the game. I had real life.
So, yeah. Dude, first of all, when A&M plays, it's real life.
In a in a Gator fan world, UCF fan world, I'm sorry, UCF fan world, the little SEC don't matter.
So. The SEC doesn't matter, but, you know, you are 0-2 against the Slaw office. You do realize that, right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, you did lose. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, wow. Well,
and I mean, A&M. That's our team.
We were 2-0 last year, so I mean, hey, whatever.
The Slaw office didn't even exist last year, so why are you bringing that up?
And a clock's right twice a day. You two are on it, so there you go.
That's right. We are 2-0. Anyways, Nick, I know you didn't watch much of it. I know you've been watching some highlights. You kind of read up on it and stuff like that. Kyle, you watched it. 7 overtime thriller. Go with it, man. Let me hear what you got. Let's talk a little bit about it.
It was a hell of a game. That's for sure. It was a hell of a game. LSU came out really flat, which was surprising to me and very frustrating because if LSU wins, they still have a outside shot with a couple teams that went down that same – or with Michigan going down that same week. They had an outside shot of maybe making the playoff. It was a big outside shot, but it was a shot. I would say they had a better shot than UCF. But, that's, you know, that game was – but, no.
He's got to take him where he can.
You're right.
It was a good game. It was a really good game. There was one point where I thought LSU sucked. There was another point where I thought LSU was – coming around and then playing like they should. And there was another time where I thought LSU was for sure a playoff contender. Then I went to, we are horrible. Then it went to, can we stop them? Then it went to Joe Burrow's playing out of his mind right now. And it was just a crazy game. It was up and down. I'm sure it was the same for you. We suck. We're great. We suck. We're great. Because it was so back and forth. I mean, it was hard fought on both sides. I'm not going to take anything away from the Texas A&M players because they fought. They came out, jumped on LSU. I mean, LSU made some plays late. Devin White is going to be a legend at LSU. That strip on Travion Williams was exactly what the doctor ordered. You know,
the strip is what, in my opinion,
changed the game.
It A&M's up 7. They're driving, and it wasn't like they had got 6 yards. This was their third first down, and they were going. They were driving the field on the move. On LSU. They were on the move. I mean, they score there. I'm not saying, and this is with like 6 minutes to go, this strip occurred. So if they score there, go up 2 scores, I don't think it goes any further. I think it ends and it wins the game. LSU probably scores again, but
A&M makes the game. It definitely made it. It would have made it really tough. I mean, it obviously helped Michael Devaney scoop scored it after it was stripped. So, right. I mean, that was big. I think the key part of the game, there's two key parts for me, and one of them wasn't the missed field goal, honestly. One, the biggest one, was the muff punt.
Coming right after their second straight 3-and-out, right?
Yes, the muff punt is –
momentum is swinging. LSU's in favor of it. They get this ball after a second straight 3-and-out. Yeah, yep. I'm with you. I mean, get LSU. That was, to me, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, Jonathan Giles, that one was it was bad. And because that was the biggest, because honestly, like you said, they just had 2 3-and-outs and they just flipped the flipped the script so quick.
Oh yeah, that was that, and they had good field position. I think he was fielding it at like the 37, 38. You know, they were going to have good field position.
Absolutely. And then the second one that was pivotal was LSU going 3-and-out when all we had to do was get a first down and that's game, you know. So that was another one of those things that really hindered. And honestly, you probably thought the same thing, but the first pass y'all threw on y'all's last drive and Delpit dove, and it should have been an interception, the one he should have picked. And
not the one he actually did. Yes.
Honestly, in my head at that time was like, dude, that's going to cost us. That right there is going to cost us. And ultimately, in a crazier way, it did end up costing us, even though so many other things transpired in between that. It was crazy. And I think that might have been the first real back and forth that LSU A&M has had as far as like a wild SEC West game goes.
I remember
LSU has those games all the time with Auburn. Right. Maybe Ole Miss.
Arkansas.
Yeah, Arkansas. Maybe not the last 3 or 4 years, but Alabama before the last 4 years, there was a long streak that was back and forth. Those crazy games against them as well. But
it's been like that through, like you said, last 5 or 6 years. LSU has always had one or two teams each year give them a good back and forth. This was the first year that they did with A&M. The very first time they played in Kyle Field, which I was there live and in person, that was Johnny Manziel playing. It was a close game too. It was
a low scoring game too.
23-19. LSU did exactly what they came to do, which was stop Johnny. They stopped him. They put the ball in somebody else's hand to score, and A&M was unable to pull it out. They haven't been able to pull it out every year since then, until this past Saturday night. Before I get on my take, Nick, question real quick. I just want to get your opinion. LSU wins that game. Are they in the playoffs?
No.
I mean, because Georgia and Alabama play. But yeah, okay, but Michigan loses. Michigan's out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Michigan's so out.
Oklahoma's got big wins that they get to hold over.
But they still got to play in a championship game, right? They still got a game to play.
Against a team that already beat them.
Right. So you're looking at that. You got Texas versus Oklahoma, right? Okay. Michigan's out. Georgia and Alabama are playing, but one of them's going to lose. Georgia's losing, obviously.
Georgia's out.
And then Ohio State versus Northwestern. And I'm going to tell you right now, do not count out Northwestern. LSU wins that game. Is it a yes or no on the end? I think yes. I think if LSU managed to win that game, I think they would have made the playoffs. I think they would have probably jumped over. They might have even jumped over Oklahoma, or you know what I'm saying? Because I looked at it like,
yeah.
Oklahoma, I mean, that was the first time that it was a non-Big 12 game that had Big 12 score. I mean, both teams looked like they were in the Big 12. It just took 7 overtimes to do it when it takes the Big 12 four quarters.
Well, yeah, once it hit overtime, that's when it got crazy.
So, but you're saying no to that, Nick?
I'm going to say no to that, and that's because the college football rankings have come out, and they put Oklahoma 5, Ohio right. State 6, Michigan 7.
Right,
so
right.
I don't see right. where LSU fits in at 9-2 above – not above Georgia at 4, not above Oklahoma at 5, not above Ohio State at 6. And I don't think any of those
teams already up. They were already above Ohio State, though.
I think they would have jumped on. I think they would have let but that was before Ohio State beat a top 4 team.
I think
handily.
But here's also the thing. We're going to touch in on this stuff later because obviously we're not in this yet. But I mean, Michigan's. I mean, you know, let's not crown them as being. You know, something worth, you know, I mean, they're Michigan. They're a good program. They're a good program, but I mean, you know, I mean, Miami came off a 10-game win streak. Right. I mean, but hey, what on?
Okay. So they're not in. That's your opinion. I don't know. Like, I mean, I was just wondering. I was just curious on how that would have played out. I just don't feel like, I feel like Oklahoma's better than Ohio State, but I still feel like if LSU wins, LSU is a better team than Oklahoma. I guess that's my question to you, Nick. Even with a sputtering offense, I think their defense stops Oklahoma because they know how to stop a running quarterback. There's no doubt about it.
They can't score points, and because of that, I don't trust them in the top 4.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, all right. Let me go on to mine as far as the game's concerned. Probably one of the greatest college football games ever played. The back and forth, the fact that there was A&M has the ball after LSU in the first overtime. LSU kicks a field goal. A&M gets the ball after everything's said and done. It's first and goal on the 1 yard line. And LSU lays the wood and the hammer down and stops them cold turkey. A&M, they actually lost like 4 yards. And A&M ended up having to kick a field goal to send it to an additional overtime. There was, I think, three fourth downs that A&M actually converted in overtime to keep the game going, and the 2-point conversions. I just thought the game was crazy. I think the turning point was the muff punt, 100%. The two turning points, the muff punt, and I think the fumble. I think if A&M doesn't fumble, they win that game in regulation. I think prior to that, if LSU doesn't muff that punt, A&M was the score on it right after. But if LSU doesn't muff that punt, I think they had all the momentum in the world and they beat A&M's beat. I still, Kellen Mond to me is still inconsistent. That dude made so many really good throws that game. However, he made a lot of bad time. He had a lot, his timing was off on a lot of these throws. I think his throws are the right decision. I think they're a good throw. I just think he's really late throwing the ball. He has a window to throw in. He obviously did it on that very last play. But several balls should have been picked off that game because he threw behind a wide receiver. And LSU just wasn't in the right place at the right time to make that. I still, as a quarterback, I still am not sold on Joe Burrows. He ran the ball great. But I still don't feel like, I don't know. A lot of that, I think, is with Joe Burrows. But I think a lot of it, like, the play calling for LSU was pretty bad. They would get 7-8 yards on first down, 9 yards, and then when they would run that little outside zone and get stopped. And A&M's got a very good run defense. I think
I think the first two or three series, it was like that, where it was LSU first down gained 9 yards and then ended up punting two plays later. I think with Kellen Mond's in my opinion, he's a gamer. So when it came time to make the play and make the throw, I mean, I saw him make, I mean,
well, that's
six,
what I'm
or
saying.
Six or seven throws you're just like, this kid is a ball player. This is a good quarterback. He's still inconsistent.
It's his timing, though. I'm looking at his timing. I think the throws are the right throw. I think the decision to make the throw to that receiver is the right one. I just think he's late on a lot of those throws. Like, I don't know if it's in his head, like, man, should I throw it? Boom, I threw it. Instead of saying, should I throw it and throw it? He should just say, throw it. Because the pass in the last overtime to Courtney Davis, that was on a rope right where he could get it. The touchdown to Courtney Davis at the end of regulation was in a window that you couldn't – that's a professional – that's an NFL throw.
That's absolutely – yeah, that's a throw you see.
It was a great catch. It was an NFL catch. Yeah, it was an NFL catch, but it was an NFL throw. I mean, if he don't put it there, the receiver don't have a chance to catch it.
I mean, the receiver's got Greedy on his back, and he's got a safety streaking underneath, and that ball was put
perfectly.
Perfect. It was a good ball.
He didn't do it all game. I think if Mond does that all game, LSU wins. I think if Joe Burrow's threw more, LSU wins. I think they tried to run so much.
The issue with LSU is I think they've been coached well this year. I think that they've covered up a lot. I think the running back group is okay. They're good. You know what I mean? They're good. They're not great. There are a couple guys. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is younger. I mean, Nick Brissett's just a guy. I mean, he was serviceable. He was very well. He played very well, but it is what it is. LSU might have played with the same starting five offensive line maybe once this year.
Right.
That hurts. I mean, when you lose three of your starting five, it does hurt. Even though you got all these guys on scholarship, it's still not an excuse. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying I think the coaches did very well with what they had, and they covered up a lot of deficiencies in LSU's offense. And we couldn't run Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's actually a decent, okay runner. He could open some things up for you. But with two quarterbacks,
he surprised a lot of people with his running. I think he surprised the A&M defense with his running.
Yes, with two quarterbacks that transfer out when he comes in and named starter, it hinders how we're going to play Joe Burrow. You know, being a 6'4", 220-pound guy, he could run it. But when you have Miles Brennan as a backup, who's also kind of having shoulder issues, he seems to be fine now, but there's a 3 to 5 week span where he, come to find out, his shoulder was kind of bum. So, I mean, you can't really run Joe Burrow and then throw a guy in there who's already underweight. No, he's not undersized. He's pretty tall, but underweight by at least 30 pounds with a bad shoulder. So, I mean, I think they did okay. I think, you know, it is
all
what
in
it
all,
is.
All in all, it was a great game. It was probably, like I said, one of the greatest games, college football games ever played. But I don't really want to touch on the officiating. I feel like the officiating – I'll say this. I said I don't want to touch on it, but I'm not going to get in deep. I'm going to say one thing, and we're going to move on. I think that the game, at the end, it kind of disrupted a bit of the game, obviously. And it, and all in all, yes, it did favor A&M. Now, I'm not blaming A&M, and I'm not blaming the officials, but, yeah, it did in a way – I mean, the calls did go A&M's way. I get it. And that's a frustrating thing as a fan to see when A&M only had three calls. A&M's been pretty disciplined all year, though. It's not because of that. And their main issues is targeting. Like, they've had a lot of targeting calls and a lot of personal fouls. Other than that, A&M's not getting called. They're pretty disciplined. All in all, game was great. I mean, dude, I was trying to go to bed. I had work the next morning. I stayed up, watched the whole thing. It was incredible. But one of the greatest games. But I called it. A&M wins. LSU loses. Let's move on. Big win from Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeyes over Michigan.
I'm not sold on Michigan. And, you know, well, I mean,
I don't even want to talk about the game, actually. I just want to get your guys' thoughts.
Yeah.
I want to get your guys' thoughts on Urban Meyer.
I think he's gone next year. I think he's
I mean,
whatever's going on the sidelines, I mean, if he's in real pain, he's done next year. And if not, then he's done either way because he's faking. He's a great actor. So either way, he's done next year. I mean, if he comes back, I mean, what are recruits going to think? Like, this guy's doubled over on the sidelines. I don't know. He's got issues, man. So, I mean, he's a great coach, great recruiter, great play caller. But, I mean, there's, you know, he's not the total package because he's got something missing in his program. And anytime times get tough, you ask Nick, he hits the back 40 and it's health reasons.
Well, let's talk to Nick about it. What do you think, Nick?
Well, yeah, I can come from a perspective from a fan base who he left. I think Florida State can understand how that feels, having their coach just do the same, having Jimbo Fisher do the same. But I think ultimately Urban Meyer stays another year. I think he does. I think he just to prove a point, I don't think he wants to coach anymore. I think he's tired. Like, that's the only excuse I can give the man. Like, he's gotten everything. He's done everything. The only thing I can think is that the man's tired. I'm not trying to give him an excuse. I think that he's a great motivator. I think he's a good recruiter. I don't know that he's the best football coach. I don't know that he's the best person to help raise my son for 4 or 5 years while he's in college. And I think people are starting to catch on to that.
Is that a new kind of enlightenment that you're getting just because of the allegations, or is that something that over the years, I mean, you being a Florida guy, him coming from Florida, you've probably been a little bit more aware of this. I mean, give us a little info on it. I mean, or is that just something that, you know, over the allegations over the last year?
It's an opinion that's been based over years. Just got him not even knowing all of his players' names. I mean, that's a big deal.
How many people on their roster?
Program. I don't know how many people are on a call.
I mean, I think 75. I think 75 make the final roster, but there's probably still 100 something with red shirts and everything. That's a lot of people to remember. I mean, if it's a freshman, I'm probably not going to remember your name unless you're.
If you think back to high school, you had 6 classes with 30 kids in each class, and you knew every kid in every single class's name. That's not an excuse.
That's not true. There were still a couple of people.
You may not have known their last name, but you knew one or the other. You knew a way to communicate with that other with every child in your classes.
I get where Nick's coming from, but also you got Bobby Bowden, who, you know, still called guys by their numbers, and it was argued if he knew their names. But I mean, I get where Nick's coming from. I mean, the guy. I mean, who knows? He might claim health issues and be back out there again in the NFL with Dallas, with the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't know. I think it's
I think he'll be there next year. I think he will.
I think too. I'm with Nick. I think he'll be there. I think he's got a Brett Favre syndrome. You know, he's fishing.
They can still make a playoff push.
This year, yeah. I mean, they've got to beat Northwestern, which I think is going to be a tough game. That is not a 100% lock at all, in my opinion.
It is a lock. This is the kind of game that Urban Meyer gets his players ready for. Like I said, he's a hell of a motivator. He can get you up and prepared.
Hey, you're listening to it on a Wednesday. We're doing it on a Tuesday. You hear it. I'm calling an upset, Northwestern.
It's a lock, double digit.
Well, you could double digit lock down whatever you want. Call it an upset. Next on the field, Notre Dame is a playoff team. Alabama, I'm looking at it here. Alabama was 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, and Georgia 4. Notre Dame, I had them in my 4. They were there. I split them. Nick, you had some things to say about Notre Dame as well, right?
Originally, Notre Dame wasn't in like the very first 4 we gave.
Right. It was in my 4.
The following week.
I had my slash. I have it on paper. It's Clemson / Notre Dame.
Okay.
Well, I'll send a picture.
I put
Notre Dame in. The following week is when I put Notre Dame in, and that was I just want to, you know, make sure I stay true to what I said. And it was the following week that I put Notre Dame in because I said if they go undefeated, they get in no matter what. I've had this argument with Kyle off air. Yeah. If Notre Dame goes undefeated, they will always be in any kind of championship game, any kind of playoff pooling you have, Notre Dame will be in it. And it really doesn't matter what sport. So, if Notre Dame is good, they are going to be involved.
So let's look at Kyle, because you obviously are not into Notre Dame. You're thinking because they're not in a conference. Is that correct?
No, it's not the conference
thing. Okay, so what's your hatred? Why? So
I don't have hatred. I have zero hatred against Notre Dame. I just call it how I see it. I feel like Notre Dame over the past handful of years or so has benefited from USC being down. All their big rivalries, Michigan. Like they try to push Michigan down our throat 6 years ago, and it was a horrible game.
You can say that same thing about Georgia.
But there's four college playoff teams, Kyle, and they have the second highest difficulty of schedule. Their schedule is like 36th in the nation.
There's only one team that's
at 26, and then everybody else is at 40 and 50.
I do give them props for the Syracuse win. I mean,
they've played a hard schedule this year.
To me, Michigan. I don't know, man. I'm not.
It's Shea Patterson. They're going to go as Shea Patterson goes, and I don't like Shea. We already talked about that. We've been down that road with Michigan.
You know, I mean, I guess so.
I don't know.
But with Notre Dame, I don't have any personal vendetta versus Notre Dame. The Notre Dame thing for me, and actually I think I was right about it because there was a few teams that had – I think there was one or two teams that had one loss that were, I believe, in front of Notre Dame at one point in time in these rankings when they came out earlier in the year.
Who was that? What did you say?
I'm pretty sure at one point in time didn't LSU and one other team have a loss and they were ranked ahead of Notre Dame earlier in the year. This was like probably like 5 years.
Yeah. This was
so
yeah,
I mean,
I believe,
yeah. So,
I believe when LSU was 4.
Yeah, so
and Notre Dame was 5 or 6, something like that. You're
yeah,
right.
So I mean if they would have won out, I believe that Notre Dame would not have jumped them. Notre Dame's not jumping Clemson, you know what I'm saying? So and Notre Dame's not I mean Alabama's already up there. So I mean if there's plenty of things. I mean, let's say Auburn's only loss is to Alabama this year. I'm sorry, but Notre Dame's not jumping Auburn or Alabama.
Okay, so Georgia beats Alabama. Is Alabama ahead of if Georgia beats Alabama, Georgia's obviously going to jump Notre Dame.
Here's the thing.
Will Alabama fall behind Notre Dame?
I don't believe. No, Alabama, yeah, no matter what.
You think they fall to four?
I think either Clemson,
to Kyle, Alabama's either, better than Notre Dame. It's a one
either Clemson. I mean, let's take a quick vote. Do you think Notre Dame is better than Alabama?
Nope.
Nick.
No.
Okay. Quick. Okay. Thank you. And that's what the committee's going to do. They're not going to do what the BCS computers did and say, "Oh, well, they just lost 2 weeks ago, so we got to bump them back to here." Or, "Hey, this happened." No, they take that into account. They take into account strength of schedule and the eye test. That's what we've been asking for this whole time in this whole process of college football, ever since the dawn of time of college football.
When Notre Dame looks good.
When people were voting.
Notre Dame does look good.
They're fit.
They do, but
they can do everything. They're big on both sides of the line. They can do everything. Notre Dame has every – they passed the eye test. Robbie just told you they're second on –
they're second in the
strength
top
of schedule.
Out of the college football.
Out of the top four teams. Not
the teams that are like the teams that are
like 32nd in the nation. 32nd.
I mean, teams that they're judging
though. 120-something teams.
Okay. Okay. Well,
comparing them to the other teams.
Okay. I know. We can talk.
Notre Dame's the business.
So we've got
Notre Dame doesn't make it to the championship game.
Notre Dame gets a playoff.
If they're in the playoffs.
Notre Dame gets a playoff win.
I think they beat Clemson. Absolutely.
Notre Dame gets a playoff win.
I think they beat Clemson. So here we go.
If something happens that puts Notre Dame at 4 and they get matched up with Bama, no, they're not going to get out of the first round.
Right. But if they're better than Clemson.
I think it's safe to say Notre Dame might be the second best team in the country.
Double lock me. They're not making it out the first round.
All right. Well, let's double lock the predictions this week. It's championship week. We're starting Friday, Utah versus Washington. Give me your predictions. Go, Nick.
Washington.
Kyle.
Washington.
I'm going Washington as well because I need A&M to move up in the bracket. No, I'm going Washington as well.
Top 15, baby. There's a little piece of
okay. Yes, it. All right. Dr. Pepper Big 12 Championship game. Oklahoma versus Texas. This will be Saturday at like 11 o'clock. I just I mean, why don't why wouldn't you put the American championship game like UCF and Memphis like at 11? Hogwash. Anyways, Texas versus Oklahoma. Who you got?
I like Oklahoma.
Kyle?
Texas is not back. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma as well. All right. Okay, on to the American championship game. UCF versus Memphis. I got Memphis just because I got Memphis. Kyle?
I've got Memphis just for the fact that McKenzie Milton's not going to be playing.
Exactly. I didn't want to say it, but, I mean, that was a horrific injury. Shout out to you, Nick. I'm sorry. That was scary. Props to him for continuing and ending up winning that game because it was a tight game when he went out. So, who you got, Nick? Obviously.
Well, I'm gonna go with Memphis, but I'm going to go with Memphis for an educated reason. Like Kyle said, UCF's quarterback went down, their starting quarterback, but also Memphis played him in a one-point game earlier
That's right.
in the year.
31-30.
It has every intention on getting that smoke this week.
That's it. All right, Mountain West Championship, Fresno State versus Boise State. Go with it.
Give me Fresno.
Okay. So. Hey, dude, it's championship week. We're going to all of them.
Boise, the pedigree.
I want Fresno. I want all that.
I'll pick Fresno as well. Dr. Pepper ACC Championship game, Clemson versus Pitt. Do I need to ask?
Nope.
No, sir. Okay.
Didn't think so. We're going all Clemson. Big Ten Championship game, Ohio State, Northwestern. You already know who I got.
Yeah, I see y'all's double locks of the week, but I'm leaning with Nick. It's Ohio State. It's gonna be a close game. I think Nick's gonna be a little surprised, but
it's not gonna be close.
Okay.
What's the line? I mean 13.
14. The line's 14.
Okay. They're 14.
But I got Northwestern. They're gonna cover the spread. There's no doubt about it.
I'll take
Northwestern plus the points. Anyways, last game, Alabama, Georgia, SEC Championship. It's at 3:00. I just don't understand. This is the most primetime game. This is the best game of all weeks, of all the week. And you're going to put these guys playing at 3:00, which I don't know.
Classic to me, SEC timing.
I know, but normally it's 2:30, but they got to push it back because the American Championship crap. Anyways, Alabama's favored by 13. Go.
I've got Bama, and they cover.
Nick,
I second that.
You know, if it weren't for the cover, I'd take Georgia. I don't think they're going to cover. Alabama's not going to cover. I take Alabama to win though, which is all that really matters. So, all right, let's see. Let's talk. We got a couple situations in NFL. We got about 15 minutes left, so. Let's get on. We got about 10 minutes left because then we got Kyle, who's got a 5-minute spiel on couch talk always. Anyways, Nick, something hurtful happened this week besides Leonard Fournette's fist and Shaq Lawson's face with helmets on like idiots. Blake Bortles is benched. How do you feel about it? You're going to cry? Are you going to give me one of those T.O. speeches about how that's your quarterback? Or are you happy about the decision?
Bortles.
Anybody who knows me knows that I rode the Bortles bandwagon. I drove the Bortles bandwagon. Like, I was one of his biggest fans, biggest supporters. Like, I wanted him to be great. But, and honestly, over the years, we've had other quarterbacks leave our franchise, and I've always wished, you know, hate against them, wanted them to be bad, don't want them to go and succeed somewhere else. But I don't feel that way with Blake Bortles. I would like to see him go succeed somewhere else. But I do think the inevitable has set in now. I think everybody – and the organization has went ahead and bowed their hats and decided, hey, we're going to go ahead and come to the same conclusion that everyone else in the entire country has come to, and we're going to bench Blake Bortles, and we're going to move on from Blake Bortles is what I hope is the final saying in all of this. I think ultimately they're going to have to draft a quarterback, and, you know, he'll eventually take the job from Bortles. I think they still are stuck with Bortles for another year. He hasn't shown you anything that's going to cause you to think he has trade value. So maybe somebody gets hurt next year at the beginning of the year and people and teams start reaching out for Blake Bortles. But until then, it looks like the Jaguars are going to be sitting on his contract. I do wish him the best. I do want to see him succeed. He's taking on the chin. He's been loyal to this city, and he deserves for the city to be loyal back to him.
Are you talking about, like, keeping him for next year? Because that's a bad decision. It's a lot of money. Just saying.
I don't think they have a choice. I think even if they cut him, they still owe him.
A little bit, but not everything. I think it's $4 million that they owe him if they cut him.
Well, so that's the case. If that's the case, you pay him $4 million to cut his ass tomorrow.
Yeah. But well, you need
like
him.
I said, I like the guy. I like the guy. But at this point, like, you made your bed. You've had every opportunity. And the expectations, this was one of the hardest seasons I've ever sat through. The expectations were there. You saw how good the team could be. That same team came back, and yeah, they had some adversity, but no more adversity than what they faced last year. And I think that to give any team in the NFL an excuse is just unfair, because everybody deals with the same adversity from year to year. So this one's not only on Blake Bortles' shoulders, but they fired the other guy who bared a lot of the burden as well, in Nathaniel Hackett. And I think ultimately, moving forward, the team will get better. All right. The franchise will get better.
So let's stay in the football. Let's stay in the NFL. We have four teams with 8 wins in the AFC. The Chargers, the Texans, the Patriots, and the Chiefs. Which one makes the Super Bowl? Tick, tick. Let's go. Spit it out.
None of the above. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to go this year.
Well, I'm still sticking with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. I'm still sticking with New England. I mean, they're 5-0 at home. I still think they're going to do it. NFC. I mean, I could go into Chicago and Minnesota, but let's go. Chicago's 8-3. Rams and Saints are 10-1. Who you got?
Who did?
Chicago.
Yep. I'm calling the Saints now. These last, and I said it last time, last episode, that I think they're the clear front runner, and I still think they are. I also feel like they have issues, and they could be susceptible to losing the first round. So, but I'll see what these last 4 weeks, 5 weeks. What?
I just mine is most definitely subject to change, and then you know Mitch Trubisky. You know, you don't know what his status is. But I'm hype on the Bears, and I think that they can ride that same kind of hype train that these young teams can do. Like, they get there, they don't know what they're doing, they don't really understand, and they have an opportunity to win it all.
They do, and I hate that, because we got a first-rounder from the Bears, 2 of them, and they're doing really good, so we're losing our draft picks. So, upset about that right now. Anyways, who wins it all? Nick?
I think the Steelers get it this year. They're kryptonite with the Jaguars, and they don't have to go through the Jaguars. So I think they're good enough to beat the Patriots. I think they're good enough to beat the Chiefs, even though I believe the Chiefs might have beat them earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. But I just think Big Ben will get it done. He's the seasoned vet. And
So you got them winning the Super Bowl?
Pittsburgh winning the Super Bowl, yep. Kyle?
I mean, I got the New Orleans Saints riding Drew Brees' his back.
As long as the Saints, in my opinion, stay where they're at, the Saints are the best chance to win the Super Bowl.
Barring injury, because the Saints are really good at keeping their game plan. They don't, you know, they don't really stray away from who they are a lot. So it's going to be hard to get them
there's that playoff woes that they have. They should have been in the Super Bowl last year and possibly could have won it last year, but they lost to Minnesota on a Hail Mary at the last second. I feel like they've got really bad luck in the playoffs. I just feel like
that wasn't a Hail Mary. That was the Our Father.
Well, yeah. So anyways, that's who we got. I got New Orleans for now. We'll see what happens. Let's see what else. Anything else? I don't know if we're going to talk any more football. College basketball started.
I will say this. I will touch on this. Talking about Bortles real quick. The Jaguars are actually set up to get – they're actually set up really well to get the quarterback of their choice. The only other team that's bad this year, that's as bad as the Jaguars, that needs a quarterback is the Giants. For the most part, all the other bottom feeders just got quarterbacks, and then you have the Buccaneers, who they're a toss-up. The Raiders, I feel like, are a toss-up, but I still think they believe in Derek Carr enough that they're not going to draft a quarterback yet.
I don't think with John Gruden you're going to draft a quarterback because of Derek Carr. I think he's played it up enough to where he doesn't want to get rid of Derek Carr, and I think Derek Carr is going to stay. Derek Carr is a great guy. I told y'all this, and I told you about his inconsistency. I feel like he can make all the throws. If I just feel like his injury 2 years ago has literally set him back, and if he can get that off his, whether it's on his mind or not, if he can get over that, I think he'll do fine.
Quick question. If the Raiders go under 500 next year, do they keep Carr?
Oh, God. I think Carr has, I'm trying to look at his contract. He just got paid. Like, yeah. They're going to have to trade him.
Yeah. Just quick, off the head, the top of the head.
Did they keep him? Yes.
I think so. Okay.
Now, if they go 2-14 again, I don't know. If they go 7-9, yeah, they keep him.
What makes me nervous is that even if the Jags do get a rookie quarterback, there aren't any rookie quarterbacks with winning records in the league right now. You can kind of give Lamar Jackson a little bit of credit, but he just took over the reins. That was Joe
Flacco's team, but who's he played? There you go.
Yeah, very, very true. Oakland and Cincinnati. Just another quick, fruit for thought. If I'm the Saints right now, I mortgage away my future for the next 3 to 4 years. As long as we have Breeze, we give away first round picks. We get pass rushers. We get corners. We get another receiver, a big time offensive lineman, something. You mortgage everything away before it's too late, and you don't be that team trying to draft back into what you were because you're not going to get Drew Brees again.
Well, you're not going to get Drew Brees again, but to me, Ike, you've got to start scouting these quarterbacks.
For me, I'm not spending enough. I'm not wasting another draft pick. Even if it's a fifth round draft pick, I'm not wasting it on another quarterback until Drew Brees is out the door. I'm done with it. They've already wasted three or four times, and they're not. So no.
Well, I mean, you look at it. If Drew Brees is like, hey, look, I'm gonna play one more year, and he tells them that before the draft, then yes, I would draft a quarterback and get him a year under Drew Brees if the right quarterback comes along. But that's saying the right quarterback comes along. Like, if Joe Burrow is in the draft, no, I'm not picking him. Just saying. All right. Enough of that. College basketball started. Most of you guys don't know this. I do watch a little bit of college basketball as well. Gonzaga is my squad. It's always been my squad.
Number one.
I don't know why. They are number one, and they just knocked off Duke, who everybody pretty much the first week of the season or first 2 weeks with the Maui Invitational, they basically said before the finals, they basically said Duke would never lose. Am I right?
They said Duke could beat the Cavs.
Exactly.
They were on the Alabama train where they could beat a pro team.
I mean, dude, don't get me wrong. They took Kentucky, and they made them their bitch. Zion went off. Barrett went off. These guys went off. I mean, they're talented. There's no doubt. There's, three top five picks out of maybe top 10 at the worst out of Duke coming out this year? They're going to have at least three in the top 10. Whether you need them or not, those are the players. That's like Zion. If you got LeBron and you do that bad, or if you have a star already and you got Zion, you're going to pick Zion. I like Barrett. I think I like Barrett a little more than Zion, but I don't know why. I just feel like Zion's more of a he could shoot, but I think Zion's more of a presence inside. He's more of a finisher. And I think Barrett's a little more polished. But what do we feel about the college basketball season? How do y'all feel? I mean, like I said, I'm hyped. My Zags are number one, and they beat number one.
Well, with the whole Gonzaga thing, the way to beat a diaper dandy team like that is with a lot of seniors, and that's what Gonzaga's got.
But they always have seniors.
Yeah, like, yeah, which is the reason why. It is, but they buy in. So, I mean, kudos to them. Gonzaga's been a good program.
I got to say this, because I'm shocked to hear that you're a Gonzaga fan when you're a Texas A&M fan. Texas A&M has a relevant basketball team year in and year out. They don't always make the tournament, but their
start was pretty bad this year. I'm still an A&M fan when it comes to like all sports, baseball, basketball, football.
But you don't get to root for another team and feel good when they win.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Who says you can't?
True fans.
Me, college me, but I'm pro. Pro, they don't even, they don't even play for themselves either.
First of all, let me tell you something. I'm not like you. I'm not a homegrown jackass. Okay, I'm not gonna stay in my freaking county.
You just learned it over time.
No. What I'm getting at by I'm not homegrown. I'm a jackass. I'm just not a homegrown jackass. Like, I planted my roots with A&M because yes, I was from that area. I'm a Rockets fan because I was a huge fan of Akeem Olajuwon. Like, he was my idol growing up.
Pro basketball, I think it's okay to follow players because there's only five of them on the court at any given, for a team at any given time.
Stop sucking the LeBron tit. Anyways, what I'm getting at is I was an Elijah Wan fan. I idolized Elijah Wan. I sat there and I practiced the dream shake and I did everything.
Get off of his tit.
So that's what I enjoyed. Now I have been, as far as my other sports, A&M has been my go-to because that's pretty much where I was raised. My first 10, 11 years of my life, I was 45 minutes from College Station. However, the Oakland thing, I have no idea how that happened. They were on TV, and I've been a Raiders fan since then. And Gonzaga is the same way. Like, I started watching college basketball, and they were one of the first teams I saw, and I liked them. They were decent, but I liked them. That was back when remember when Morrison played? Adam Morrison? Yeah, there you go.
That's Kyle Russo's doppelganger.
Is it? That's true. It is. It does kind of look like him with that peachy-ass mustache, that funky-ass incomplete mustache, that one where, like,
that shit is thin. That shit is thin.
When he was shaving,
You got the pencil mustache over here, and you have the gall to say anything about my mustache.
I have a pencil mustache. Yeah, exactly. Anyways, leave me alone with my damn teams I like. Are you hyped? Okay. Are you hyped about college basketball this year, Kyle?
Yes, because, I mean, me and Nick actually talked about this, the FSU-LSU game that actually went to overtime, and LSU lost that one. So,
but they look good.
They look good. You know, I mean, I like Will Wade. I'm a believer in Will Wade. He almost got himself in a little bit of trouble earlier this year with some videotape or something. But
Nick, you're hype?
Absolutely, I'm hype. I mean, I was a lot more hype heading into the season before Florida started off 4-3, and we were 3-3 before tonight. We just came off of a win against North Florida, but that's a team you're supposed to beat. So really, now I'm just kind of looking forward to SEC play because now we got to dominate our conference in order to try to get in there. But I don't feel like Kentucky's unbeatable this year. And Auburn really looks like they might be the best
Auburn
team
looks
in the SEC.
Really good. Auburn looks beyond,
and they're really well coached. Bruce Pearl. We had Billy Donovan at the time, but I would have loved to have gotten Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Tennessee for a while. Yeah. He did really well in Tennessee.
And he's building that program at Auburn, making them relevant.
It's going to be good. Well, we're going to wrap it up. We've been going long and over the top. We probably had more to talk about. Kyle, I know you got something to say. I know you're going to bring your couch out here. I want you to wheel it out here. You're on the clock. A minute and 45 seconds. Go.
All I need is 30 seconds.
And you'll need some more time.
And like Johnny Manziel, like your boy, I'm penning a letter to Baker Mayfield. And that letter is going to say, shut up, Baker. All right? Shut up, dude. You had all this stuff to say about Hugh Jackson and why you didn't. Now I'm fine with just a handshake. You don't got to hug the guy if you don't like him. But my reasonings for putting you on this couch are gonna kind of come back, and you're gonna see why later in your career. They're gonna your same words, Baker, are gonna come and bite you in the butt. Because here's what's gonna happen: you play for Cleveland. All right, Cleveland's a dumpster fire. Okay, I give it another handful of years, and you know, it's just going to go awry. You're either going to get traded. I think you might get cut. And then guess what? You're going to want to go play for a rival team and play them twice a year. Okay. So let's just temper all that other stuff of what you're saying about, yeah, he was in our locker room, wanted us to play for him. I get that. And that's what he's supposed to do. But guess what? The Bengals weren't just some random team in your division that he went to. He coached the Bengals before he took the job with Cleveland as your head coach. So temper yourself a little bit, and I'm gonna just shut up and go sit down. Y'all could talk to each other instead of writing letters.
Now, Baker Mayfield can come sit on my couch anytime.
Oh, I bet.
He needs to sit down on that couch. It's Hugh Jackson.
Wait, time out. Wait, sit. Go ahead. That nasty.
Nasty.
Hugh Jackson needs to sit his ass down on that couch.
Get off his tit, bro.
Here's what you ultimately need to realize. Now,
go with it.
I think Kyle's right in a lot of things. Baker Mayfield was wrong in a lot of ways. But
he's got four wins. If he's got nine, then it's relevant.
But to dismiss Hugh Jackson and what he did, he didn't just go to another team that had a coaching staff that he was familiar with. He went to the rival team, the in-state rival team, the 4 hours away rival team that you just can't stand, that everything they do makes you sick.
And he did
coach there for the next week. the fall or 2 weeks prior or 2 weeks following and coached against you. And it's just, it's, he taught, I'm sure just like, I mean, I watched Hard Knocks, but I'm sure just like any coach, he preached what he does. He says, hey, you know, camaraderie, brotherhood, we're in this together. And then I'm sure just the way, same way he hated the Ravens, the Steelers, he hated on the Bengals the same way. And for you to, I think what he should have done, because it's not like he's hurting for money, he's still getting paid by the Browns. He should have gone up in the booth and taken the year off. You can go back into coaching next year. That job was still going to be available to you, especially if it was available 2 weeks into the year. It's just a bad look. And I think you being in your 50s, you being a leader and somebody who's been trying to mentor these younger guys, I think that that's how you do that, not by going and doing something in spite because you didn't like the way a situation was handled with you.
Well, I get the whole coaching thing. I'm not going to get into it. I'm going to make my comment before we close the show on Baker Mayfield. Kyle said that he's going to get cut and go to a rival team. I have this weird feeling about Baker. It's my last thing I'll say, but I have this weird feeling about Baker. Like, I think if in like 4 or 5 years from now, 6 years from now, Baker gets cut, I don't think he goes anywhere else and starts. I think he's done. I think Cleveland was one of the only places he could have played at. And by the time he gets done with Cleveland or they get rid of him in 4 or 5 years, like Kyle suggests, if that happens, I think every other team that needed him or liked him or wanted him or could use him now, I don't think they're going to need him anymore.
I think Baker's special. I think he's a special player.
Well, because he's sitting on the couch next to you with his hand on your crotch. So, I mean, that's a different situation. That's the special that you want. That's fine. I get it. I'm sorry, but dude, stop. I mean, you love Baker more than I love Johnny.
Bro, the kid was a walk-on. The kid didn't even get scholarships.
I don't care. He got kicked out of school because he's punching and fighting, and he's an asshole.
He earned his shit and then became the number one draft pick in the NFL when nobody else thought so.
For the Browns.
I mean, yes, Cleveland has made more mistakes than, you know, some chick having babies with 14 different dudes. Look,
I don't care. I don't care if the Kevin Costner movie, The Draft, rewrites itself, and that's what the Browns do. All I know is that he got drafted number one overall.
That's a great accomplishment.
And they have having zero last year. They tied the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier in the year. Dude, he's made that team relevant with an offensive coordinator and a head coach arguing.
You can do whatever you want about Baker, but guess what? So did Ryan Leaf, and look where he's at.
Yeah. Every time a quarterback does bad, they blame it on the offensive coordinator. They blame it on the coaches. They say, okay, well, he was young. We need to get him a new staff. He's doing the opposite. He has a bad staff. Guys making mistakes. Guys not doing what they're supposed to do as leaders, and he's overcoming that himself as a leader. He's leading that team.
Well, I guess
that deserves recognition. He's a special player.
Only time will tell. Ladies and gentlemen, court is now adjourned. We're out of here. Another week in the books. We'd love to stay in chat.
Baker Mayfield will kick Joe Burrow in the ass.
Baker Mayfield will just sit on your couch all day.
Nick is skiing right now with Baker on one side and LeBron on the other.
Guys, thank you all for tuning in. As always, follow us on whatever social media we have, which we have an Instagram. It's The Slaw Office. We've got Facebook. It's The Slaw Office. We don't do the Twitter and all that good stuff yet, but we're going to get there. Look for us on Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Spotify, we're all over it. Guys, like us, subscribe to us, comment, do whatever you want to do. We definitely appreciate it. We thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of The Slaw Office with Russo, and Peretti.
Go Tigers.
The court is now adjourned.
Don't think the mustache is around here.
Gig 'em.